had been Jay's grandfather. Had the Psi genes only from his mother, so he wasn't a Psion. But he too fathered a child on one of his providers, and that son, Jabriel II, had been a Ruby telepath, the most powerful of all Psions. He possessed the mental power to use the ancient machines, which would have made it possible for him to conquer human-settled space. Through him, the Aristos could have subjugated all humanity. Jabriel II had other ideas. He had fled his heritage, appalled by its brutality, and secretly married another Ruby Psion, a warrior queen of the Skolian Imperialate, Yub's greatest enemy. Her name had been Saz Valdoria, Jay's mother. So Jay had been born a Ruby telepath, the first child of Jabriel II and Saz Valdoria. No one knew his mother and father had hidden in exile for 15 years. But ESCOM, the Yubian military, had finally found Jay's father and torn him away from his idyllic life, never realizing he had a family. In secret, Jay's mother had left her children on Earth to protect them. Then she had launched the Radiance War, a shattering conflict that brought two star-spanning empires to their knees, all to rescue her husband from his own people. Jay's parents had died in that war. One consolation remained to Jay, the knowledge that his mother and father had been reunited in an escape shuttle before a missile exploded it. They had died together. He struggled against the hotness in his eyes. The grief was too great. He had never been able to weep for their loss. He feared if he started, he would never stop. His parents had dreamed of a time when Yub and Skolia would know peace. Somehow, some way, he would turn that dream into reality. He would find a way to ensure that the two people who had gifted him with their unconditional love hadn't died in vain. Drizzle misted over Eldrin, dampening his clothes and hair. His body ached from his last chat with his interrogators. He stared dully after the traitors as they walked towards their embassy, two heightened Aristos surrounded by four guards. He wondered what game of cruelty they were playing with him this time. The unfamiliar youth who had stayed here in the plaza spoke to Eldrin in stilted Hyten, his accent almost too thick to understand. "Cold you are? We go back." Eldrin narrowed his gaze. The youth looked about 18, average in height, a bit shorter than Eldrin, with brown hair and eyes and a friendly face. If Eldrin hadn't known better, he would have mistaken his new tormentor for a schoolboy from Earth. The youth glanced at Eldrin's bound arms, then raised his gaze quickly, as if he didn't want to look. "Like you to make your arms free?" he asked. Eldrin stepped back, his head jerking. What new tricks had they devised? His jaw clenched so hard he felt tendons stand out in his neck. "Okay, we don't have to do that," the boy said in English, more to himself than Eldrin. In his terrible Hyten, he added, "Go we to Allied Embassy." He indicated a building. "Embassy, Allied Worlds, Earth. You come with me, yes?" They picked a good actor. Eldrin readied himself to fight or run. Realistically, he knew he would lose either way. He could do little with his hands locked behind his back, but he had to try. He couldn't let them break him. "Come, yes?" the boy repeated. "We remove restraints." Eldrin had intended to stay silent, but he couldn't keep his hatred inside. "Go rot in a Tazorli whorehouse." He spoke in Skolian flag, a language of his own people. He would never willingly use Hyten, not if they tortured him for 100 years. The youth's eyes widened. He switched into flag. "I'm not a Yubian, I swear it." He spoke the Skolian much better than Hyten. "You are free now, in the territory of the Allied Worlds of Earth. We offer you protection." Eldrin said nothing. The boy tried again. "My name is Mick Fresnel. I'm a volunteer with the Dawn Corps. We're a group from Earth helping with rescue and relocation operations now that the war is over." Mick looked so earnest he could have fueled a spaceship on his sincerity. Eldrin saw their game now. Convince him that he was free, that the fighting had ended, let him taste it, believe it, revel in it, and then send him back to interrogation. After another silence, Mick said, "It's warmer in the embassy." His lopsided smile would have been charming had it been genuine.